This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Joining us from New York is Rabbi Daniel Gladstein. He's the Rav of Kehillas Teferes Mordechai in Cedarhurst. He's the author of a number of svarim about the Holocaust, including the art scroll book, Darkness at Dawn. Welcome, Rabbi Daniel.
Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi David. Thank you for the opportunity. Good morning.
So then we want to speak about the Warsaw Ghetto. And, you know, it's a resistance that became enshrined by, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, certainly by the secular Israelis as a sign of heroism and, you know, how a group of unarmed, you know, basically against the might of the German army and how long they kept them at bay at great sacrifice. And it was done L'chayr al piatzas gedoylem, they say, Reb Menachem Zemba, the Kazhi Glavarov, Reb David Kahana was there. And I understand that your grandfather was was the Mashbak, Mishamish Bakaydis, by Reb Menachem Zemba during this period. Can you tell us what your family, what the Kabbalah is, Ish B'Pi'ish in your family, about what transpired there?
Look, thank you for the opportunity just to share some very personal memories of what my grandfather told me personally. I heard this from him many times. My grandfather revered Reb Menachem Zemba. My grandfather was a resident of Varsha. He had smicha from the Varsha of Rav, Rav Shlomo David Kahana, before the war. He was very close with all the Rabbanim in Warsaw. At the time, as he mentioned, there were three great Goinei Olam, Rav Shimshon Shtackhammer, Reb Menachem Zemba, and Rav David Kahana Shapiro, who he was the third, the Rav David Kahana Shapiro was the youngest among them. And we'll speak about, they were given the opportunity to flee, but Reb Menachem Zemba was the preeminent Gadol Hadar. My grandfather always described what Reb Menachem Zemba's house looked like. Reb Menachem Zemba had more than 10,000 pages of Chiddushei Torah. He had a svarim shrank behind his chair, not filled with svarim, filled with his own personal manuscripts, a commentary on the entire Rambam called Ma'aseh HaMelech, and a commentary on the entire Yushalmi called Menachem Yerushalayim, hundreds of tshuvas, chiddushim, on the entire Bavli, Shulchan Aruch, and the entire Medrash. So Menachem Zemba was offered to be the Roshiva of Chachmi Lublin after Meir Shapiro, who was offered to be the Chief Rabbi of Jerusalem. He was the Gadol Hadar, and he was the number one address to every pressing Shaila in those very dark times. Look, this is a matter of considerable controversy, and it's important
and
to understand,
by the way,
why.
They say that he had 19 volumes of Chiddushim on the Rambam that were buried in the Warsaw Ghetto, and they could not be found. And I understand many attempts
were made
to find the writings of. And he was a big correspondent with the Ragacheva, who considered him an equal, amazingly, as well as Ramei Simcha, the Meshech Chachma.
And another point that my grandfather would make, and I want very important to convey, is, you know, all those names you mentioned are you know, brilliant luminaries. The Midos of Reb Menachem Zemba are Loyu Uman Ki Supar. I heard that he would go to the Garabas Tishim and he would sit in the crowd like anybody else. After one Tish that lasted many hours, the person behind him had his elbow dug into Reb Menachem Zemba's back for hours. And after he saw what he did to Reb Menachem Zemba for hours, he said, "Shuldig mir, I'm so sorry." Reb Zemba said, "No, when we stand in front of the Rebbe, we're all equal." So his midos were otherworldly. And
he was offered, by the way, he was offered to be the Rav of Yerushalayim.
Yes.
Right after Rav Zonnenfeld, but whatever. He was offered to be Rav Yerushalayim. He was also, like you say, offered to be Rashiv and Chachmei Lublin.
Yeah, besides my grandfather being a Ben Bais by Menachem Zemba, my grandfather was also best friends with Reb Menachem Zemba's two nephews, Avrumcha Zemba and Itchemayer Zemba, who were both big Talmid Chachamim. Incredibly, my grandfather was with Avrumcha Zemba in Auschwitz, and Avrumcha Zemba passed away 50 years ago, and my grandfather and his best friend Avrumcha Zemba were buried on the exact same day third day of Pesach, 50 years apart. But in any event,
well, by the way,
one more note,
our listener Shalom here. Reb Chaim Moshe served as the chairman of the Mayetzes. He said he would only do it if Reb Menachem Zem would do it in partnership. Reb Menachem Zem was only 45 years old at the time.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
He was the one who spoke at the third Knesset Gedolah. He was the keynote speaker. He spoke twice in front of the entire crowd. It was considered the address at the thing was the address of Reb Menachem. Just to give people who never heard of him, because he was killed. He was gunned down in the Warsaw ghetto, right? His children were killed. His son
didn't have any surviving heirs. And his son was a machutin
with the Chabina Rav. He was a machutin with the Chabina Rav, but his kids were killed. And there's no surviving grandchild in the world of Reb Menachem Zemba.
No.
The only thing we have from him, really, is Tzitzai Shabbos.
You said Yarmaz, and Tzitzai Shabbos. So, as you mentioned, it's a point of considerable controversy, and for good reason. Look, Eilav Arechav, Eilav Asusim, V'anachnem Shem Hashem L'kena Nazker. We never pride ourselves in physical arm and physical resistance. And there were great Rabbanim who were students of Menachem Zemba. Reb Simcha Elberg held that there's no way Reb Menachem Zemba endorsed the uprising. However, all I could say is, and, you know, I'm not looking to enter controversy, but my grandfather was there. Not only was he there, he was in Menachem Zemba's lookout during the uprising. And my grandfather says, certainly Menachem Zemba held it was a matter of Kiddush Hashem. This is reported in writing by Rabbi Feingold. He writes in 1942, Rav Zemba said, "Umitamzeh ani roya shelfi ha-halacha mitzvah b'mered b'meitav taksisei ha-mechama Kiddush Hashem Yeshkan, Melchemes Mitzvahi." That's what Rav Feingold reports. Of course, everybody knows Rav Hillel Zeidman. Likewise, said Rav Menachem Zemba held that we could not go voluntarily. We needed to resist. We fooled ourselves into thinking that the outcome wouldn't have been as it was. Actually, my grandfather had a remarkable vision. He just passed away, Rav David, last year at 106 years old. And he said the hardest part about turning 100 was seeing the Rashi Oisiyos. So he had a remarkable vision, and he was Reb Menachem Zemba's lookout during the uprising. So one way they say that you could reconcile what Rabbi Simcha Elberg maintained, that Reb Menachem Zemba did not support the uprising, with what
the
other
Talmidim. Explain the debate. Why should you or why shouldn't you? What were the two sides? What did Rabbi Elberg think, and Rabbi Henkin, et cetera? Why were they opposed to the Warsaw uprising?
I'll tell you the truth. I'm not here to provide a halachic discussion about that issue. I'm here to tell you the facts, based on what my grandfather said. What is reported as to why Sirn Gedolim felt from the outside it wouldn't have been proper is because maybe infuriated the Germans, and it just it hastened the liquidation of the Warsaw Ghetto. But for those who were there and for those who were present, there was a shift in attitude, and this is a very important nakuda, between pre-1942 and post-1942. And this is something we see in the writings of the Piatsetsna. Pre-1942, Piatsetsna Rebbe told his Hasidim, have bitachon, have faith. This is not a new phenomenon. We have to understand the tragedies and the difficulties in the context of 2,000 years of Galus. This is nothing new. We've been through Churban Beis HaMikdash. We've been through Crusades. We've been through Inquisition. And this is just another chapter. We've, you know, been there, done that. But in 1942, when the Germans began the systematic liquidation of European Jewry, the Piatsetsna Rebbe amended his writings, and he said, everything I wrote was ad kan, but mikan olahala. Now what we see, loy shama kamayu, the Jewish people have never experienced anything similar, comparable to this mass extermination. And it's suggested that it was under these new conditions that, while typically, you know, armed resistance was not the traditional Jewish approach to dealing with the Gullus, we usually tried more discreet diplomatic measures, but uncalled for times, called for uncalled for measures. This was something that Menachem Zemba viewed perhaps as a hayra hasha because of this experience that was just fundamentally and dramatically different than anything we ever experienced before. So Menachem Zemba said, this is Mochemes Mitzvah. And look, the answer of the Elberg, Bar Koichlo was also a revolt, and Rabbi Kiva supported that. So Rabbi Elberg said, well, that was different. That was in Eretz Yisrael. That was defending their homeland. This was in the Galus. And that may have been the traditional approach until 1942. So again, I'll leave the debate to people much greater than myself. I'm just reporting for the sake of historical record what my grandfather told me, what he told our family, what he spoke about publicly, what he wrote about, what he published. And it's important to know that many of not only the students from Menachem Zemba, but those who were with him, they did maintain their Menachem Zemba, at least in those trying times, held there was an element of Hayra Shah. So, and this is something I wrote about in the article book, The Darkness and the Dawn. And as we mentioned, there were three Gedolim there in the Warsaw Ghetto. You had Rav Shimshon Shtackhammer, Rav Menachem Zemba, and Rav David Kahane Shapiro. And I will tell you, I had a great-grandfather who was in the Warsaw Ghetto. My great-grandfather, my grandfather's father-in-law, who he was not his father-in-law at the time, was the last Rav of the city of Sachachov. His name was Rabbi Yehuda Leib Volman, Hashem Yimkom Damai. And he was the last Rav of the city of Sachachov. He was a Talmud of Shem Shmuel. He was taken to the Warsaw Ghetto. And he was given an opportunity to save his skin, to survive. The Aguda was going to rescue him and bring him to America, and they were going to carve out a new position for him, Chief Rabbi of the United States of America. First time that they would have that position. And he turned them down. And he said he's a Raya Neman, he's a faithful shepherd to his Kehila. Much of Sachachov was taken to the Warsaw Ghetto. And he would not save his life and leave his kehila behind. And this is one of the great dilemmas of the Warsaw Ghetto. In 1943, April 19th, 1943, there was an official court case with Rav Shimshon Shtackhammer, Menachem Zemba, Rav David Kahane Shapiro. They had gotten word from the Judenrat that the Catholic Church of Warsaw were going to save these three Gedolim, and they had 24 hours to escape. And they convened the Beis Din, and because it's Dinei Nefashai, so Poischem and Akatan, and Rav David Kahane Shapiro spoke up, and he said, we cannot run away. We can't abandon the people in the darkest hour. We have to encourage them. We have to strengthen them. Could we run from the Almighty? The same God who's found here will be found outside. And those are the words of Rav David Kahane Shapiro. And Rav Shtackhammer and Rav Menachem Zemba could not comment. There's nothing left to say. Rav Menachem Zemba said, let there be no further discussion. Tell the Judenrat, we're not leaving. And that was the psak of this, the haunting court case of April 19th, 1943. My grandfather was present in the ghetto at the time. And this is a matter of considerable halachic debate. This is a question posed to the Chinesh by many Gedolim. What should we do? Should we leave our communities or should we save our life? And the Chazoinish did not answer directly. Instead, he would always point to a Drushas Chassam Sofer. And the Drushas Chassam Sofer has a very lengthy, in-depth analysis of this particular subject. And the Chassam Sofer says it's very hard to give a definitive ruling. If you read what the Chassam Sofer writes, he is inclined to say that you should save yourself. But, we'll leave that to the reader to see the Chassam Sofer inside. Chassam Sofer says
there was
actually
the debate is the din was with Chayecha Koidman.
Absolutely.
Right?
Right.
So the Chareish
Mr.
say Hayata
Lisan,
Kaidman is should
yeah.
say that they should leave. On the other hand, right, there's two other things that some Sefer discusses. There's a question is, do you say Hayecha Kaidman by Divrei Ruchnius? Right, so here
Good.
the question is, as a leader of a community, as a spiritual leader, maybe there is no din of Hayecha Kaidman as the leader of a community.
Right,
right?
Maybe there's a
there
moral obligation to be a captain. You know,
right,
the
and
captain
you see
can't abandon ship.
Rabbi Chanan came back. They say that the Dvar Avram, right, was in the
mm-hmm.
Kovna ghetto. He was to say he was given the ability to run. He didn't. The Alexander Rebbe, the Radomska Rebbe didn't. On the other hand, the Satma Rebbe famously did. The Ger Rebbe and the Belzer Rebbe left. So you see that on. And it's interesting to note that the Alexander Rebbe said he's not leaving. He was killed. And sadly, most of the Hasidus Alexander disappeared. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
But Ger was able to escape. You see the Hasidim that were able to escape.
And he rebuilt Ger. Yeah, so it's a debate. Did they didn't they? And it hasn't been. You can't really answer such a question.
No.
Rabbi Chanan,
no.
You see, Rabbi Chanan came back. Rabbi Chanan came back, and Rabbi Aaron fled. So it's like it was both by the Chassidim and the Litvisha. This was a fierce debate.
Yes. The interesting thing is, Chassam Sofer writes that went back to the times of Noi de Behuda, where the Noi de Behuda himself wanted to leave the city of Prague when Prague was in siege, and the community leaders did not allow him. When the city of Mainz was besieged, the city of Mainz sent Rabbi Chaim Hirsch to Frankfurt. So Chassam Sofer says it's an age-old debate. He wants, Chassam Sofer wants to say, it was a machloikis, Yirmiyah Hanavi, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai fled the city. It's a very interesting makar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai fled the city. Yirmiyah Hanavi was in jail. He stayed with the people. You could see the drush of Chassam Sofer, Hey Tammuz, page Shin Hey. So it's very hard to weigh in and to say that one mahalach is better or is not better. I think one thing we could safely say is that those admoirim or gedolim who were able to flee and rebuild their yeshivos and chatzeros, so Klal Yisrael today flourishes because of them. But we could equally say that those gedolim that were moiser nefesh al kiddush Hashem, it's their blood and their Messias Nefesh that lay the groundwork for the future, the resurrection and the revivification and resurgence of the Jewish people today. My own great-grandfather died al Kiddush Hashem in the Warsaw Ghetto, and it's a source of pride to me, to my family, that he wouldn't abandon the Jewish people in their time of distress.
So
I mean, what's the greatest accolade is to be a Raya Mehemna, to be a faithful shepherd for the Jewish people.
So share with us again, what were the words you heard from your grandfather, from Rabbi Nachum Zemba's position in the Warsaw Ghetto?
The words were, they were not permitted to go like sheep to slaughter, that was disparaging to the dignity of the Jew. And in order to preserve Kavod Yisrael, they had to wage Mohammed's Mitzvah. That's what my grandfather told me. You know, it wasn't a matter of what the result would be. It was a matter of making the statement that we're not going to Shechita House. We're going to stand up for our lives. That echoes the opinion of Rabbi Feingold and Rabbi Seidman, that it's a Mohammed's Mitzvah and it's a Kiddush Hashem.
Well, Mohammed's mitzvah is where you're fighting to save your life. The argument here would be is that by doing this, they were guaranteeing their death, not saving their lives. So Mohammed's mitzvah is a difficult argument, no?
Ma'ani to be nisnas in Oyvei HaKaira, but one could humbly assert that if standing up for Jewish pride is Meroimim, Karen Yisrael, Karen Hashchina, Karen HaTorah, It's meroimim, the honor and the glory of the Jewish people, where when the Kedoshim went, the same way they didn't die crying, they died dancing in the flames. They died singing Ani Mamin. It's a statement of emunah. It's a statement and belief in the afterlife. Yes, they knew.
Hello, that it is, but Mohammed Smith says it's not. I was asking on the point of Mohammed
Again,
Smith.
Again, Mohammed
Smith
in
the concept of still Hashem.
Look, Mohammed Smith, you can't have Mohammed Smith if it's not Eretz Yisrael.
No. Shulchan Aruch says, Goyim Shekifu, they come to the Sapir. The Bach says it has a din of Mohammed Smith of Isman Azeh, even Chutz Laretz.
The point that these students of Ramah Zemba make is it's Kiddush Hashem in the sense of standing up for the honor of the Jewish people. So in that sense, it's a Mohammed that you need to do, and in the greater sense, it's Mohammed's Mitzvah. I think it would be hard to categorize it as Mohammed's Mitzvah according to the strict halachic interpretation.
Unless Rabbi Glatstein, you take the position that if the Jews in Europe as a whole had said, look, you want to take us, every inch we're gonna fight you. Right? If that had been the stance, and there would have been 1 million German deaths along with the 6 million Jewish deaths. So if Rabbi Nachum Zemba was saying this should be our position going forward, so him fighting would have a din of a Mohammed Smith, because in effect he's creating an atmosphere that will allow for less death. Not in his protheistic position, but klali, as he was setting a klal.
That would make it a Mohammed Mitzvah.
He's saying, look, you want to take us?
Everyone
you take is going to come at you with a gun. So then it would have a din of Mohammed Mitzvah, not from him, but for the rest of them.
I think the point was it was limited to the circumstance of the Warsaw Ghetto. It was so that they would not just be liquidated and taken to Auschwitz. It was a point of Jewish pride. Yes, there is a concept of standing up for the honor of the Jewish people. And that's what my grandfather and others maintained that Rav Nachum Zemba helped.
And by the way, the other question that you discussed, whether should they leave or should they stay, the Kli Chemda, another Polish Gadol, says Pinchas, the Gemara says he was machnas himself into sakana. Sara Nisim happened to Pinchas that day, that he himself didn't get killed. So the question is, why was he machnas himself into sakana? And the answer is, he was machnas himself into sakana fatzalas Yisrael. So you see that, he was, as Brisi Shalom, in other words, he got tremendous accolades for doing that. So he says, this is one of the makairis that he would say that an Adam should be machnas himself into sakana fratzalos Yisrael, in other words, just as he was, and not he could have said, look, I'm leaving, I want to save myself. So it's just from out.
Yeah.
Two parashas ago, last week's parasha, we have sort of a riot to this. Rabbi Glatstein, thank you very much for sharing with us your family memory in this matter. It's so relevant, these days of mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity, and we should Klal Yisrael should only hear of B'sroes Toivos and safe and good times. L'anu L'chol Yisrael.
Amen. Kol Tov. Bye-bye.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.